Years ago, I told you I watched a show when I grew up. Y'all remember that show on TV that came on once a year that everybody was almost like, oh, here it is again, if you were a dad. But kids loved it. Remember that show? Yeah, that's called the what? It's called The Wizard of Oz. But that wasn't the only show that that I watched. That's the Moser TV right there. That's what it looked like in my house. We watched The Wizard of Oz. We also... It was another show that we would watch once a year. It seemed like a classic. Let me tell you a little bit about the classic show. You'll probably recognize it. So consider, Wizard of Oz, but let me definitely show you a good Christmas show. 4 days ago, on December the 9th, today's the 13th, minus 50 years, right back 50 years ago, CBS aired a special. The Christmas special didn't air without some serious concerns from the CBS executives and programmers. Here's what some of those experts in television thought. It was written over a period of several weeks. That's way too short for a special. And animated on a shoestring budget in only 6 months. Sometimes things can cost millions. This cost about $85,000 or $90,000. They put it together, animated it. It looked choppy. It's almost a little disoriented. Some other things are concerns. In casting the characters, the people wanted to make sure the people that spoke the part sounded like children. So guess who they got to do the part? They got children. One little boy couldn't even read. They would give him the line, he would say it, and then they'd go back and get the next line to try to give to him. So he couldn't read, so they would say a line somebody off, you know, like somebody in a high school play. They prompt you by giving you your line. They would do that to this little four-year-old. So the characters or the stars of the show were kids. That'll never work. That's what they thought. Unconventional. The program's soundtrack was similarly unorthodox. It featured a jazz score by pianist Vince Gagliardi. There you go. What? Andy is so good, he helps me out. Andy, say it again. And people said, oh, nobody likes jazz. That'll never work either. Okay, we'll see how that is. Any other concerns? We got a real strong concern by then. Finally, the executive's not too pleased having parts of the Bible read. That'll never go. We cannot read the Bible on the television special. Well, the writer of that was pretty adamant. He says, if this doesn't get included, there won't be a show. Well, they've already advertised it, and they've already started, you know, putting it on the television. Look forward to this. They can't pull it. So here's what they decided to do. Some of the programmers come up with this. This young man, they met with him 4 days ago, December the 9th, 50 years ago in 1965. This man who drew this little picture, his name's Charles Schulz, if you haven't heard of him. And Charles Schulz had a special. Anybody remember the special then? Charlie Brown Christmas. The man named Charles Schulz would see a dream come true. He said it will be about Charlie Brown, and it will have the Bible in there. So the special was a Charlie Brown Christmas. Those executives sure knew what they were talking about. What were the biggest concerns? Well, if you look at this, it's like, blow it up a little bit bigger for you. That's the big screen TV of today, by the way. The other one was miles. We had lights on a doghouse. Yeah, that would later, you know, Snoopy's about world famous. Notice they said 50 years, so it started in 1965. So has it ever missed a year, do you think? Well, let me show you a couple things on this next one. Here's what that, when CBS executives saw the final product, they were horrified. They said, it's not professionally done. We will, of course, air it, but we won't be ordering it again. We'll put it on this year because we're stuck with you guys, but nobody will like it. Here's another thing they thought. So we're going to air it. They didn't want to have Linus recite the story of the birth of Christ from the Gospel of Luke. That just can't be. Network executives aired the special as Schulz intended because he said, if we don't have the Bible reading, the show won't go on. Okay, we'll put it on there, but you're going to see that we're going to have a flop on our hands. People will hate it. Really? Next thing right here says, on Thursday, history was made. 15 million households turned in to judge for themselves. The reception will turn the special into a classic. CBS soon learned that nearly half of the American television sets on that night were watching the Charlie Brown Christmas. As a matter of fact, history was made in the fact that this is about like an Andy Griffith show. It was up until 2005 CBS hung on to it. Not too bad, you know, considering they didn't really like it. Then they sold it to ABC, and ABC has continued to show it on the day after, I think it was the day after Thanksgiving this year, they showed it twice. So this show's never been off the air for 50 years. People are wrong, aren't they? I think the same can be true of not just a Charlie Brown Christmas, but Jesus himself. Oh, that'll never sell. Really? Some of us are still looking for Jesus, and it wouldn't be Christmas without him. So instead of happy holidays or have a nice this, how about God's birthday? I just want to praise Jesus for what it is. It's Christmas. Next, consider this then. Sometimes we can really be surprised. This is a look on our face. I come to church, let's just pretend, and you say, God's never really going to do much with me. What can God ever do with me? It's just me. You might be as wrong as those CBS executives. God has a path for each of us to follow. What is that path? Well, I can't answer that individually, but it's from where you are as to where you want to be. And God's got you a path spelled out, and he's going to have the principle of the path. And you'll find, if you'll remember from the last couple of weeks that I've reminded you of this, it's our direction, not our intentions, that determine our destination. What was the intention of the CBS executives? We just want to put out a good program. But we've got one. Our intentions are to put out a fine quality program. And we're going to take it in this direction. Charles Schulz said, we will go in this direction, and we will stick to what we said we were going to do. Well, what was the thing that really just made him so aggravated? What was the biggest thing out of that special? The reading of the Bible. Check out how offensive this is. This is what they were so worried about. A little speech. I'm sorry. And you'll have to maybe come back with this. I'm going to show you the whole monologue that lasted about a minute and a half. And do you know what he read from? It was Luke chapter 2. And the fact that Charles Schulz was a Christian continues to be a good witness for the Lord. You ever read some of the Peanuts? He'll actually put some, I think, things in there that remind you of Jesus.
Rats! You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a trip!
I should have put the executives in Charles Schulz. Let's laugh at you.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And that was offensive. Wow. Good for Charles Schulz to say, this is what's going to be. We're going to stick to the plan. We're going to stick to the path. His path is to say, I'm going to put a special on. It's not just our intentions. Maybe the executives had good intentions. Those intentions didn't amount to too much, and they almost canceled the classic. From where you are, something else to remind you of this right here. It also has to be obedient, like Charles Schulz was, to the direction God gives us. So some angels and obedience and the Christmas story. Would you take a Bible if you've got one? And I've got to compare two people in the Bible. If you need one, you can soon have one right in your hand there. I'm going to compare a couple people in the Bible. They had some things in common. Both of them saw angels. Both of them were scared. Both of them were good, solid believers. But they'd sort of got some bad things happening around them. And so they were waiting their chance to sort of rise to the top again, sort of been put on hold. Today we're going to look at a couple of people who were headed in the right direction. They were on the right path. These are the guys you want in your church. Just like us, we're here today, and some of y'all are saying, but you don't know me. My heart, sometimes I'm burdened, sometimes I got a little fear, sometimes I'm not sure what direction to do, what my next step is. Well, guess what? You're perfectly normal, just sort of let you know, because these two people are much like us. They didn't feel very special. We'd sometimes do that. Just pretend that you sin. Most of you don't, but let's just pretend. Anytime you sin, what do you feel like immediately afterwards?
Guilty.
I'm scum of the earth. Why do you even love me, God? And the father of lies said, that's right, you're nothing. But the voice of truth says, you are very special, and I'd die for you. Matter of fact, I did die for you, and I'll come to your rescue. Just call me. That's the voice of truth. So which one are you going to pick up? I mean, but I messed up. Well, then confess your sins, and as they say, get back up on the horse and keep going. If you fall off a horse, get back on. Now, I like to waller in the mire and defeat for 2 weeks or 2 days or whatever. In my Christian life, I've learned to do this in my many years of knowing Jesus. My example of this, if I take a picture of you, your eyes, boom, they'll see dots there for a second, and then they finally, what's the word? They refocus, they recover. We teach it in driver's ed that if a car comes by you at night, currently, if I got my high beams on, if I'm blinding you, you know what you're supposed to do if you come by somebody who's blinding you with high beams? Something not to do. Take that, buddy. Blind you. You go by. Don't do that because you just blinded a guy with a 2-ton car. Probably wouldn't be wise. It's like, don't do that. Hey, you're blinding me. Go back to low beam. Fight the glare and go by. And they call it glare recovery. And pretty soon, if you're good at that, your eyes recover quicker rather than going. 3 days later, I still can't see. You know, you're bumping into people. Somebody takes a picture. Ooh, you bumped into a wall. You'll get better at that. Glare recovery time in driver's ed or recovery time when somebody takes a picture. As a Christian, what's spiritual recovery time? Let's say
dog was a bad word.
Dog. Hicker, you said dog. Jesus, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. I'm aggravated and mad. Would you forgive me? I'm truly sorry. I'm forgiven. Hold on. You're whistling. You just said dog just a minute ago. What would you like me to do? Be miserable for 3 days? God has forgiven me. Matter of fact, He wants me to get by. Ask yourself this. What's the devil want me to do? He wants me to be defeated. Then I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to focus and say, God, I am good. Forgive me. I can't even remember. They call it justification in the Bible. Just as if I'd never sinned. You say, but that doesn't seem right. I know it's not, but we got a Savior that says, I forgive you, so why not just accept His forgiveness and live like you're forgiven? And then my spiritual recovery time gets shorter and shorter. I don't take sin for granted. Matter of fact, it bothers me when I sin. But I'm just saying, I don't stay defeated very long anymore. Why? Because I know the best way to defeat the devil is riding on top of that horse. So I'm going to go after him. I want to do things that aggravate him. I want to do things that bother him. He doesn't want me to share my faith, then share it. Doesn't want you to pray, then pray. Doesn't want you to read the Word, read it. I don't feel very special at times, but I am. They were calling on my God to do something very special. God calls us to do something special. They were both visited by angels. I don't know if that's going to happen, but God does speak to me. Both were scared but accepted the call from God and showed great faith in following God's calling. If you got your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 6. I'm going to show you these two people, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. He didn't feel very special. This guy is defeated. Judges chapter 6. Now, God allows some tough times to come into your life. You say, why does He do that? Is He mean? No, sometimes He's got to get your attention. It's like the old farmer that said he walks up, he had to do some plowing, went over to his big donkey, took a two before and went, boom, hit him in the head. The guy went, golly, what are you doing? He said, well, before I can get him to work, I got to what? Get his attention. And that usually helps get his attention. It's like, couldn't there be a better way? God's going to get your attention. This man right up here in this picture is a guy who was visited by an angel. If you don't know who he is, look at Judges chapter 6. Israelites doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. You guessed it. For 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. If you want to condense that down, you know what they're doing? They're hiding out. They're so petrified, they're scared to death, they're living in a cave. They're living wherever they can get a place. Why? It would be like they're being ransacked by these Midianites. Whenever the Israelites, and you say, well, go out and plant some crops. Read the next verse and you'll see why that's even difficult. Whenever the Israelites planted the crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, all other eastern peoples invaded the country. What'd they do? They camped on the land, ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. These guys are just flat out mean. They came up with the livestock in their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and the camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord of God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you, gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. You didn't do what I told you. Bad things are happening for Israel. So God says, I've heard them cry long enough. I got to go help them. And he sends an angel. Who's he send it to? This man's supposed to be Gideon. He sends an angel to Gideon. The angel. Sometimes when it says the angel, I've been told by some Bible scholars that that might just be who himself. Jesus. Now see, these are the things I read in the Bible and I'll start weeping. Jen, come in. You all right? Oh, I'll just let you be. She knows I'm in. She knows I've just walked into the Holy of Holies. Y'all ever been to the Holy of Holies? It's like especially in the Old Testament, they would have the temple this far, and then at the back it's the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died, the curtain was torn. We could go into the Holy of Holies. It's sort of like meeting with Jesus. Has Jesus ever really just tugged your heart? I know he does, because Virginia, when he tugs your heart, we just weep. I've wept with Virginia before. When God supplies something, God's about to supply something. He's Gideon. He's hiding out. He's doing things on the everyday, but he's discouraged. The angel of the Lord, Jesus, is going to show up. By the way, the other person, I'll tell you, you know who the new person, the other person in the New Testament? That's going to be Mary. Yeah, Jesus showed up in Mary's life too. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophir, just like every day, that belonged to Joash the Asbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. He is threshing wheat in the winepress. That'd be like you reading the Bible in the closet. Why? Because I'm afraid if somebody sees me, they're going to kill me. He's afraid of his life right here being taken. Angel's going to show up and appearing. Look what he calls him. He is defeated. He is discouraged. He's sitting there in a winepress, hiding out, trying to thresh wheat. And an angel shows up. Boom! There's the angel. The angel says, "Greetings, mighty warrior. What would you do if I called you mighty warrior?"
You talking to me?
Yeah. You talking to me? No, it's got to be somebody else. You're calling me mighty warrior. What do you call Mary, by the way? I'm going to get to that. But he called her highly favored one of God. What if he looked down from heaven and said, "You." No, you. You right there. From Giles County, you. Oh. You want me? I want you to plant a church. God, I'm 50 years old. I know how old you are. I made you. And we need to plant a church. Okay. How are we going to plant this? Well, you're going to need some help. 5 years ago, we planted Life Point. Now, an angel didn't show up, but God spoke to me. He's going to speak to us on a continual basis, I think, sometimes. First time it's for salvation. Second time it's just to start growing us. And then he just stays on an everyday basis. Look at this. He just sits down there by the oak tree. I'll go and get him. When the angel of the Lord appeared again, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Again, like, yeah. You know what I would probably say? Same thing as Gideon. "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened?" Can y'all give me that in another way that the world says? If God is for us, why are bad things happening to good people? I wonder if anybody's ever wondered that.
Why has this happened to us? Where's all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord's abandoned us. Hebrews chapter 13 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has not abandoned you. It's because of sin that He can't bless you. But now the Lord's abandoned us. Put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? You are the man that's going to make the difference and be the leader to rescue this whole country. Are you with me or not? Put your hand there, Gideon. Are you ready? Well, can I make sure? Okay. The Lord turned to him and said, go in your strength. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon says, how can I save Israel? Look at this. Talk about excuses. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family, and I'm the smallest, and I've never been to college, and I can't sing, and I don't... Oh, Lord, why? The Lord answered, I'll be with you. You don't need anything else. I'll take the ignorant and make him wise, and I'll take the weak and make him strong. And I'll take the lost and make him redeemed. Okay, how can I say no with that? The Lord says, I'll be with you. And you will strike down the Midianites as if they were but one man. Gideon replied, okay, if I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. In other words, if this is really you. And the Lord says, okay, I'll wait until you return. Gideon went in and prepared a young goat. And from Ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast, put the meat in the basket, and broth in the pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. Angel Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And when the tip of his staff that was in his hand, and with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire flared up from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. The angel of the Lord disappeared. Gideon knew that God had just accepted a sacrifice. So when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, O sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Bottom line, I've just witnessed God in front, and he's terrified. And so he needs these words of reassurance. But the Lord said, peace. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. God, I'm standing in front of God Almighty. Hang on. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it the Lord is Peace. And to this day it stands north of the Asbeites. There you go. So he gave him a challenge to do, and I won't get into all the challenge. Let me see. Gideon is a man we're going to talk about. And I'm going to compare him to someone. Take Gideon and compare him to this person. Who is that? That's Mary. Gideon gets to see an angel. Mary gets to see an angel. He is called highly favored, and she's highly favored. You say, I'm not those guys. I don't know. I can sort of deal with this. I can be out just doing an everyday job. He was doing an everyday job. He's out there threshing wheat in a wine press because he's so scared, and an angel comes up and just sits down on the oak tree. I can just picture a stump just sits down by him. Gideon? Yes, sir. Has a little talk with him. Isn't that cool? That's just everyday living. Quit looking for God on a mountain someplace. He can show up at an AMCO station. I really think he can. He can show up anywhere you are. Russ, do you ever see God where you work sometimes? And you sort of step back and a tear will come in your eye and somebody will come up and go, you okay? Yeah. I just saw God. How do you do that? Because I was looking for him. And this angel comes up and Gideon, I need to talk to you. Whew. It's not good for the Israelites. Man, you telling me, I thought you'd abandoned us. Where you been? I need Israel to come to repent so I can bless them again. And you're going to lead the war against these people that hurt you. So out in the woods, God shows up. Isn't it just like him to show up? He's going to show up in a strange place in this story too. Let me compare a couple of these things with these two people. Gideon and Mary. One from the old, one from the new. Old Testament, New Testament. Gideon, Mary. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to compare it to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2 contains the Christmas story that Linus read for us a minute ago. Let me go down this list. In Judges chapter 6, who are the people that needed saving? Got to be a little bit of a school. That's a school teacher. Who are the people that needed saving? The Israelites. They're so defeated they can't eat. They can't even have crops. Every time they do anything, you ever felt that way? Yeah. Moms, you ever cleaned up the house? How long does that stay clean?
Second one.
Yeah. It's like Hurricane Kid hits. hurricane children come home. So you clean it up, and it's like, let me fix this. At least let me have dinner ready. If I flame coming out of the stove, okay, there was dinner. And you ever feel like you got the Midas touch in reverse? Everything you touch turns bad. You're almost afraid to do anything. Things are just not good. Midianites, they're the enemy, and they're just wreaking havoc every day. They're so bad at the people living in caves. How come you're not living in your house? I'm scared to go there. Midianites will catch me and kill me. Okay, where are you living? That third cave on the west bank over on the other side. Yeah, we're standing there for a while. Sound good? What are you doing for food? Whatever we can. And God says, I've heard the cry of the oppressed. People need saving. What else? People needed saving in Mary's time too. Why else would God have sent a Savior? These people need to be saved from physically starving to death and wandering around like they don't know who God is. Those people needed saving spiritually. How about these people over here? Gideon was called on to help with the rescue. Mary, I'm going to call on you to help me with the rescue. You've got to find somebody who can birth God into the world. The child that you delivered will one day deliver you, as Mark Lowry writes in that. Have you ever heard the song, Mary, Did You Know? It's like, maybe I'll just sing it next week. It's a good reminder. The child that you delivered. Mary's about to give, you know, have delivery there occur, and it's going to be God. Special delivery. How about Gideon calling on the rescue? Mary calling. Gideon questioned God there. What did Gideon ask just a minute ago? What the first thing he asked? Hail, mighty warrior. I am with you. What's Gideon basically say? Where you been? Can you imagine a backslidden Christian? Not that y'all have ever done that, but you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and then you forget about God, and you just sort of drift away, and you're not living like you should. And you almost feel like, God's not blessing me. That's because you've wandered off the what? Path. And you're going over here, and the batteries and the tires looking for a gallon of milk. Joe can explain it to you later if you Yeah, I remember that. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. Yeah, we're looking for stuff where we shouldn't. And wondering why, God, why don't you bless me? And God says, I'm not going to bless you until you get back on the path. God wants bless these. He won't bless the Israelites. Gideon's like, where you been? Wait for y'all to straighten up. Has anybody ever for one second had a mom to say, I'm going to wait right here until you, and you just fill it in? You ever done that before? I went out the post office door and slammed the door one day. I know it's hard to imagine I'd ever be upset. When I was a little kid, my mom opened up the door. You want to come back in here? Well, I don't want to, but I have a feeling I need to. Come here. Sit down in that chair right there. Why? You didn't say it. Yeah, that's what I thought. Sit down in that chair right there. She can start putting up the mail, whistling. That irritated me. I'm miserable, so I want how many people to be miserable?
Everybody.
Yes, that's it. Misery loves company, doesn't it? I'm mad. Somebody come by. God bless you. Shut up. Sorry. Didn't mean to be happy around you, you old grouch bag. But nobody says that. I've had people in school before. I won't say where it is. It's not Salem. It's another school I work at. I went past a woman. It was William Byrd. Anyway, is this being,
you know.
Went past a woman one day. I went, good morning. I said, excuse me. I said, good morning. Oh, I didn't hear you. Maybe you need me to. I was about to turn into a bad morning. No, I was just, oh, people are so rude. Walk right by you. Because they're in a what mood?
Bad mood.
I'm in a bad mood. You live in a bad mood. You know, it's like, oh, put a smile on your face. Go to bed with a coat hanger in your mouth or something. Make your lips go up for a change. Like that. Man, I'm not going to question God. I want to try to be upbeat. Do I ever get aggravated? Sure I do. I'm like you. But there's enough aggravated people in the world. There's enough grumpy people like that. I don't want to be that way. I want to be different. Where are you, God? I'm with you. What else did he ask? Not only God, where have you been? Mary questioned God, what do you want to do with me? If you just paraphrase what she said, why did you pick me of all the people here on this planet? Why did you choose me? And boy, have you ever wondered that. God, what do you want with me? Gideon did this to... Gideon showed fear. I can't do this. I can't ask God to forgive me. I can't come forward at the end of service and pray. People might think I'm getting saved. Who cares? God's opinion is more important than what I really think. So, Trey, if you want to pray at the end, pray. Matter of fact, I won't think less of you. I'll think more of you. Right there's our altar. I know it's makeshift. It's not huge, but you just sit right there and pray. I can pray with you. I invite you. At the end of every service, there's two R's, R&R, not rest and relaxation. My brother Dennis went to Japan and R&R when he came out of Vietnam. We don't have rest and relaxation. We have reflect and respond. Every service gives you a chance to respond. And you can just go on out the door, or you can say, no, I'll pray where I am. That's fine, but do something. R, let's reflect. Try to soak in. Now, what if I sit there and reflect and I don't respond? What if you had somebody, Long John Silver, as they walk in and go, they walk in, what are you doing? I'm just reflecting on the food up there. Okay, can you try to order in the next hour? That's good. I think I'll just go on home. You didn't order anything. Yep. It's okay. They didn't respond very well, did they?
We have those.
I mean, it's just coming in. What do? You just checking out our menu? And then they respond with, walk out with nothing. I think people do that in church all the time. God's speaking to you. He's showing you the menu. What do you want? I'm all going out the door at the end. Okay. Order something. In God's case, talk to Him. But I'm afraid. Welcome to us, the world. We're afraid of what people may say. I don't want to say anything. Somebody might misinterpret what I'm... You know, at camp, I just let it ride at camp about like I do here. I just speak. Well, somebody's going to laugh at me saying, I don't care. I'm too old to play games, so I'm going to do something fun. In class, I can do this. When I'm in class, I'll just use a different voice. So, Courtney, be ready for this. But I go, all right, it's a spitting cobra in my face, and 10 people start laughing, but then they're going, wow, you really sound like it. So, in other words, do I set myself up for failure? Yeah. Do I set myself up to be laughed at? But it turns out, if you really carry that off good, and if you're confident, people go, wow, that's good. You would have never known that unless you stepped out there. Now, what if that whole class laughs? I don't care. I'll laugh back at you. You know, it's just like, no, it's a step out. So, do a little something different. I'm afraid. Here's a sword. Put it in your hand. You're a mighty warrior. But I'm the least of the least of the nothings of the families of the... I mean, you know, I'm totem pole. I'm right here underneath the ground. Why are you picking me? So that when you win, they'll know it's me. Okay. Those of you who stepped out when you're a little scared and asked Jesus to come into your heart, it's a little scary, but aren't you glad you did? Don't be afraid. How about the next step after Gideon was afraid? Mary was afraid. Gideon says, I've seen God. Mary's like being visited. What the rest of the day went by for those? Hey, Gideon, how's it going? Day going pretty good? Visited by God today? Okay, great. See ya. You just walk. Mary, how's the day going? Mary? I'm supposed to do something special. Bring God into the world. Okay, well, what's for supper? I don't think it would have been that way, do you? Mary, what'd you say? Our people have been waiting forever for God to act. Our people have been waiting hundreds of years for the Savior to show up, and you get to be the one to bring Him in. Wow. Gideon finally says, okay, I'm scared, and I've asked a few questions, but let's do this. And he accepted the call, and the very next day went to work tearing down the Asherah pole and the bales out there in the yard. As a matter of fact, Mary, she accepted the call. Can I show you something, one more thing about this? Chapter 6. Read this with me. Chapter 6, verse 23. Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and there called it, the Lord is peace. To this day it still stands. Verse 25, God gives him his first assignment. Rush, you'd appreciate this. This sounds like Army Rangers. He says, I need you to do something. Why'd he go at night? And I think he's still scared. Besides that, it's going to be a covert operation. This will be special ops. He goes and gets 10 of his friends. Hey, 10 friends, you need to come with me. We're going to do something special. What are we going to do? Fork somebody's yard? Roll toilet paper in there? No. We're going to cut down some Asherah poles. Why? You can't do those. Those are sacred. They're false gods, and they need to go. Here's what he's going to do. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second boy from your father's herd, one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal. And cut down the Asherah pole beside it. His father has a false god in his front yard. What was God really saying? Gideon, if you want to be an example to the whole neighborhood, start where? But God, damn, kill me. I may kill you.
No.
I want you to start in your own front yard. Okay. Can I go at night? You just get it done. I know you're still scared. Mighty warrior. Goes and gets his friends. What am I supposed to do after I tear down the altar to Baal? Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God. In other words, God's back in town. This is what happens when God shows up. Get rid of the false stuff. True God comes back in. You're going to bring revival and you're going to get people saved. Okay. Let's do this. So they put black paint all over the face, camouflage. Dum, dum, dum. Dum, dum. Cat's been out here. Oh, dum, dum, dum. Here comes these friends behind them. What are we going to do? I'll tell you when we get there. So here's what they do. They crawl up the front yard. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as he told, as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of the family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than the daytime. But he still did what? Still obeyed God. Mm-hmm. I'm still afraid. I'm afraid somebody's going to come after me. My own dad. I want you to do a mighty mission. Yes. I want you to tear down an Asherah pole. Yes. I want you to do it in your front yard. In my own front yard. Yes. So guess what? They snuck out at night. Cut down the Asherah poles. Got rid of them. Next morning, in the morning, the men of the town got up, and there's Baal's altar demolished. Asherah pole beside it. Cut down the second bull sacrifice. And a newly built altar. So somebody went out there and says, let's find Baal. What is this? Altar to the living, almighty Yahweh God. Who did this? You ever wonder why people, don't you just think, what a dumb question. It'd be like you walking into your house. Who cleaned up my house? Does that bother you?
That ain't going to happen.
Somebody must have broke into the right house. No, I'm just kidding. Grace says, I mean, that ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. But would you complain if who cleaned up the bathroom? I was going to do that. Yeah, I'm sure I just beat you to it. Who tore down the Asherah pole and put up the altar to the living God? Gideon's upstairs, second story of his house. Got the music turned down. Door opens up. His dad goes to the door. What is it? We're here to see Gideon. We have a feeling he's the one responsible for tearing down this Asherah pole. What are you going to do about that? Here's what I'm going to do about it. You think Asherah is a strong god? Yeah. Baal's a strong god? Yeah. Then let them take up for themselves. Woo! Daddy took up for him. Walks up. Gideon? Yes, sir. Did you tear down that stuff in the front yard? Yes, sir. Thanks. It's been needing to tore down for a long time. Thanks for doing that for us. We're going to be revived by God now, aren't we? God's already done one miracle. I'm still living. Yes, sir, Dad. I thought you were going to get mad at me. I'm not mad at you. Thanks for taking a stand for God. That's what happens in the rest of the story. Let Baal contend. So if Baal's so strong, his daddy says, let Baal contend with him because let it be. Joash, his daddy, replied to the hostile crowd, are you going to plead Baal's case? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him will be put to death by morning. If Baal's really a good God, hey, let him defend himself. He took up for his son. You think his son's off to a good start living this life that God's called him to do? Yeah. Go to Luke chapter 1. I just want to show you a few verses and we'll close. Luke chapter 1. You say, well, Mary's story is much more well-known. Probably so. But I got to at least just show you a couple things. At Luke chapter 1, God's going to speak to you. I don't know if he'll do that today. He might call you to go witness to a friend. He whispers in your ear. Go do, and you can just fill it in. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Luke chapter 1. Oh, excuse me, I'll go back. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Excuse me. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin place to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings. This is Linus' line. Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. we really get the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 that Linus read, but isn't it cool? Greetings. How are you doing? He sat down on a oak tree stump, I think, in Gideon's day. Here he's just showing up. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. In other words, this would be like, well, Bret Hart, please come to the principal's office. What's the first thing Bret thinks? Am I in trouble or am I doing a good job? Highly favored one. Mary was greatly troubled. Am I in trouble? Am I going to be blessed? What's the deal here? Well, hang on, Mary. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting. She's scared just like Gideon was scared. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid. Anytime an angel shows up, that's just going to send some fear in it. Don't be afraid. Don't faint. I'm here. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Highly favored one. You will be with child. Here's why I'm here. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a baby. Well, I probably will. Me and Joseph got, yeah, we're going to get married. No, no. Something that you never expected. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. And Mary just drops to her knees and says, I've heard about this. Isaiah tells us about Emmanuel coming. Emmanuel means God with us. This is like a dream come true, and I'm part of the dream. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary says, I just got to question you, like Gideon questioned God. How will this be? Mary said, I'm a virgin. Well, because the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Now, some of you who read that and just say, well, that's sort of spooky stuff. I'm going to change your mind on how you see that. Let me be Mary. And I was 8 years old in the month of July, and the Holy Spirit said, Edgar, highly favored one, I need to come live in you. What did he just now tell Mary? Mary, I need to come live in you. Edgar, can I come live in you? Jesus, what are you talking about? I need to come live in that heart of yours. Okay. Blink of an eye, 11/100th of a second, Jesus enters my heart. Angel's not bouncing off the wall, but I'm changed forever. Salvation takes a blink. Growth takes a lifetime. But Jesus is now in my heart. He's asking Mary, Mary, I need to come live in you. Why? So I'm the Savior of the world. Edgar, I need to come live in your heart so that I can show people that I'm the Savior of the world. Does that help you? Mary's not so crazy. You did the same thing when you got saved. How can this be? You're not in my heart. I know that, but I want to be. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never had sex with a man. How can this be? Angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her 6th month, that's going to be John the Baptist. For nothing is impossible with God. So Mary, I need your answer. Can I come live in you, and you deliver me, and one day I'll deliver you, and I'll be the Savior of the world. What's the answer going to be? And she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. An angel left her. I just wonder, Andy, can you fix this up here for me? Just one last couple of things. I put up some verses, and you don't have to look up those, but I've read you through the stories. And now, the last picture shows what I want to show you. Last slide, rather. Has God called you to do something special? Stop thinking seriously about what God's saying to you right now. Am I like Gideon? Is He calling me to do some? Am I like Mary? Well, could be. Or how about this? People needed saving in Gideon's day. People need saving in Mary's day. And guess what? People need saving today. Oh, so I am Gideon and I am Mary. So I can share the gospel with a friend and I might be just like them. Yeah, you're called on to help with the rescue. If you've been rescued out of hell, out of the old way of life, then God now puts you on the other side of the rope and you're pulling other people. I read this in a devotion one time. It said, coming out of the waves of sin and God's got your hand. Somebody says, I got a better picture now. How can you get any better than that? You come out of the waves and you got somebody else's hand too. How about taking them out of that old way of life? Welcome to the rescue rangers here. We got to go get people. What else? Maybe you've had questions for God. God, what do you... Just pray. Stay calm. God's chosen you. Your favorite, Gideon, Mary, and now you. We get to go. But don't ask too many questions. That's why we call it faith. What else? Are you a little bit scared? Check out the last few things. Maybe you're afraid.
Fear not, I can tell you right. Fear not. But I'm even scared to step forward or to pray or to even share my... You wouldn't like me if you knew me. God knows you and loves you anyway. God's got a good path for you. Last few things here. Maybe today you'll hear and accept Jesus' call to you. Just like Gideon said, all right, let's do this. Mary says, all right, we'll do as you say. Mary's words, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Do with me what you want. Another way of saying that is this. May your word to me be fulfilled. May your plan, your path, be what I desire. One thing left to do is this. What is your answer to God calling you? It's time to respond, so it's time to pray.